Ben Maguire shoots on goals. It'll be some sort of finish, but he misses to the left-hand side. And there it is. East Fremantle have won their 30th premiership. First in 25 years, Bill Monaghan has manufactured a brilliant victory and history for the Sharks.
Spectacular result. Well, there it is. Last year's premiers, East Fremantle, for the first time in 25 years. You're listening to the Monday Waffle, and it's our first episode of 2024. I'm Dane Meffam. I'm here with Sean Wakefield and Tim Flicker, and we're going to be taking you through round one action from the Waffle this week. If you don't know, the reason we're doing the Monday Waffle is we are ECU's Graduate Diploma in Broadcasting students for 2024. It's been a long-running tradition in our program, started by Adam Papalia and Neroli Meadows back in 2006, I think. And essentially every year, students trot out and we record the Waffle podcast. So essentially that's what we're doing. It's not just going to be us three throughout the year. There'll be a bit of involvement from a lot of other voices. So it won't necessarily be the same people. We'll have people going out to games, doing various different segments. So it should be a lot of fun for us, I would imagine.
Yeah, agree? Definitely. Yep. Keen to get some vox pops of the players and the coaches. That will be fun. Getting inside goss.
Yeah, inside goss into the Waffle. How good?
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of our podcast. But first, let's get to know us a little bit. So, Tim, how much do you know about the Waffle?
Good morning, Sean and Dane.
Morning, Tim.
By no means a waffle expert myself. I'm good at waffling, but don't know that much about the Waffle. I'm a Tigers fan. I'm a Richmond Tigers fan, and I'm a Claremont Tigers fan.
There we go. Lovely. What about you, Dane?
What do I know about the Waffle?
Yeah, what do you know about the Waffle?
I know a little bit about the Waffle, yeah. I've been around local football for my entire life, and I've, you know, been involved with some form of the Waffle system. So I used to go down to Perth Demons games when I was little because that's the local oval to me. I live in South Perth and they're up in Lathlane, and you know, I used to sit down with my dad on the old Lathlane Hill and, you know, sit and watch my Demons get absolutely pumped week in, week out. So it was
cute.
A good time.
What a nice little backstory there of your childhood. Thanks, Dane.
And yourself, Sean?
Not too much. Only recently in the last couple of years got actually into footy, but I am more of a West Perth or a Subiaco fan myself. I live like 5 minutes from the West Perth Pentanet Arena. So, yeah, I would say only now just getting into it. Watched the 2022 Premiership Final. That was pretty cool to watch. But other than that, keen to really get my hands dirty in the Waffle.
Yeah, so we're really lucky. So the Waffle actually is very historic. It's been around for well over 100 years, and a lot of the clubs are 130, 140 years old now. So you're joining in on something that's been a tradition in WA for a very long time. Obviously, we're after round one, but we were lucky enough last week to talk to the man who is the voice of the Waffle and the Channel 7 commentator, Mark Reddings. We got some of his predictions, so don't think he's cheating after seeing a week of results. This was all done last week. Mark, how are you feeling for the upcoming Waffle season?
Yeah, Dane, good to be here, Sean. It's absolutely exciting. We've waited a while. The AFL's up and running, but now the Waffle is back and it all starts this Easter weekend. Terrific, can't wait.
Beautiful. So we wanted to pick your brain about a few season predictions in your infinite wisdom. So the first one is Premier.
The Premier for this year. Well, I suppose it's an easy answer, but East Fremantle, having won last year so convincingly, they've lost Hugh Dixon, but they've also picked up Bryn Teagle, so that's nullifies the loss of a good player for another big tall. So Billy Monaghan, he's got the boys up and running. I think they'll be tough to beat. Mind you, you have to bear in mind they've lost 4 Premiership points to start the season because of salary cap issues. So it's going to be a bit tougher for them. They go from the hunter to the hunted, and looking to win their first back-to-back flags since the mid-1940s. So huge task for East Fremantle, but there'd be a big chasing pack. West Perth, East Perth, Claremont's always thereabouts, and Subiaco are always highly competitive. Not forgetting Peel, who, of course, made the grand final last year.
Yeah, beautiful. And then what about Blaine Bocurst? What do you think he adds to East Freo?
He's a forgotten man. You make a good point there because he had the knee ACL reco done, so he's like a fresh recruit. He played so well in his Sandover medal year. Yeah. So you put him into the mix with the likes of Milan Murdoch, and we know that John O'Marsh is outstanding when he goes in there. They've got Joyce, they've got all the parts to being a very good side again this year.
And who do you think will win the Sandover medal this year?
Oh, the Sandover. I'm under a lot of pressure here because Hamish Brayshaw is a friend of mine and he's pretty confident that he can go back-to-back. Although, let's be honest, he's going to miss the start of the season because he was concussed during the pre-season, received a kick to the head from a footy. So the 21 days, with protocol through concussion now in place. So I'll go with Hamish Brayshaw as one player, also like Milan Murdoch from East Fremantle. Jesse Turner from Swans also gets a heap of the footy.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, then what about your leading goal kicker?
Well, there's some usual suspects in the WAFL. I mean, Tyler Keitel, always prominent, pretending how well West Perth go this year. Ben Sokol gets a lot of the footy inside forward 50, so he's a really good experienced forward. So on that basis, those two players expected to be prominent, I would have thought. Outside of that, I think you have to look at some of the smaller mids who can maybe bob up and kick 30, 40, 50 goals, but it's generally those key forwards that give you the option of hopefully kicking a winning score. So I'll go with some tried and true tested names, Keitel and Sokol, to dominate.
And who do you think will be the most improved team of the year coming back from last year?
Well, I would hope that West Coast Eagles are better than what they were. That wouldn't be difficult.
And they're looking promising.
That's true. Well, I would also like to think Perth, being a Demons man, would be a bit better than what they've produced in the past couple of years. Swan Districts, they're the team, I think, if you look at the results last year where they were beaten in close matches on about five or six occasions, if they turn those close defeats into wins, they suddenly become finalists this year. So if you're looking at raw numbers, Swan Districts under Andrew Prune, I expect if they can turn those tight defeats into wins, we'll be playing in September.
What about West Perth? They have their new coach, Jason. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Jason Salicic, look, he's a fine prospect as a coach. Darren Harris is still at the club at West Perth to help the team along. They've lost some players. Mitch Pearce is gone, but they've also retained and regained the likes of Connor West back from the West Coast Eagles. It's just a solid club. I've been there during the pre-season. They're very excited. They're, of course, playing under lights this year, three matches.
Yeah, stadium.
100%. So the new lights are there, upgraded. I think West Perth, let's be honest, last year they had a premiership hangover because after 2022, they celebrated hard. Last year, they were a bit flat. I think this year we'll see a team far more competitive and, once again, back up inside the top five.
OK, well, you touched on my mob, Perth. How do you think my friend Regan Clark is going to go in the Sandover race?
Regan Clark? Well, it depends. I'm glad you say Regan because there's so many Clarks at Perth. It's hard to find out who's going to be doing well. Regan's, where's the number 8? Yes, very quick and gets a bit of it. Oh, look, Perth's got to win games of footy for Regan to poll well, obviously. They have done some good recruiting, though, the Demons. Charlie Constable, Sam Simpson. So they're just two. And I believe Aaron Clark is another young guy who goes pretty well, big forward from Victoria. So I'm a bit like you. I'm hoping the Demons can improve. I'm hoping they can play finals, but let's get them 7 or 8 wins first and then see what happens after that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, bit of a prediction. Who do you think will be the wooden spoon this year?
Oh, that's hard because, I mean, even though they'll make some improvements with their lists, I still think the West Coast Eagles probably, providing other sides improve, I think West Coast, I don't like predicting wooden spoons, but they're probably going to struggle again, but not as much as last year.
Yeah.
And biggest headline for the year from the Waffle, if you had one?
Biggest headline? Well, obviously concussions become a major calling point for everyone. So perhaps towards the back end of the season, a star player sidelined for the finals with concussion, which will create a lot of division, but it is simply the way to go. The AFL, I think, will follow in the near future. So concussion will be a major talking point.
Thank you so much, Mark, for letting us interview you. We really appreciate it. Hope your predictions come true.
Thanks, team. And
thank you.
May we have a great Waffle season beginning Easter Thursday.
All right, so spoken to Mark Reddings. We're now going to recap a few of the games that we had over the weekend. So, of course, we start with West Perth Claremont. We're going to go to that last because it's going to be our little feature game of the round. But, Tim, you had a little look at Peel and East Fremantle.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to get the grand final rematch, Dane. So Peel Thunder 12-10-82 defeated East Fremantle 9-9-63.
A little bit of revenge.
Revenge game. Everyone loves a revenge game, don't they? And best on, I would say, was one current Docker player and one former Docker, Nathan Wilson, with 5 goals, 5 sausage rolls. Not bad from good old Nathan. And
it's unlike him, isn't it?
He is.
Known for his forward craft.
Yeah, more of a defender, defending type at GWS and then later Fremantle. But obviously, he's shining in that position for Peel. And also starring was Neil Erasmus. 37 touches, just racking up the Peel off halfback and then into the midfield. Our second game, Dane, moving right along, was South Fremantle and, of course, East Perth Royals. Now, here we had the Bulldogs having quite a disappointing performance first up at home. They lost 6-7-43 to 12-10-82 to East Perth. And I would say East Perth are one of the form teams of the competition, and they look like they could take the next step this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree, actually. They sort of made some big steps last year, I think. Traditionally, I think with the West Coast partnership of a few years ago, they generally struggled a little bit with the turnover of players every week. But I think they've now had 4 or 5 years without the Eagles. Well, is it three, four-ish since the Eagles had their own waffle?
At least 2019.
Yeah, so they've sort of had the opportunity to sort of create their own little program, which I think is probably holding them in better stead. Guys are sticking around. It's consistent who's getting games. So I do agree. I think they look like they should be really quite good, which is probably exciting for them.
Very exciting. Very exciting. And obviously, just a little disappointed about my Claremont, but Sean will talk about them later.
Yeah, that's all right. That, I'm sure they'll be fine. The other game we had was Swan Districts playing the West Coast Waffle, and I'm an Eagles fan in the AFL, so as harsh as it is, looks like things are continuing at both levels.
A little hard to watch.
Although Swan Districts, I do think, will actually be pretty good this year, so maybe it's not as bad as it seems. But we had Lee Coleman kicked a lazy sixfer. Jackson McLaughlin, 3 goals, 16 touches. So a few of the Swans boys getting amongst the stats. And for the Eagles, Trey Rusko, who you may remember from Collingwood, is back playing for the Eagles, back in Perth. And he was pretty good in a losing team. But the Swans obviously running out winners at 21-11, 137 to West Coast 10-13-73. I don't know. I think it's going to be... I think they'll be improved, the Eagles Waffle, but maybe they're not going to be challenging too much.
I did catch the highlights of that game, and there was a strong breeze blowing, which was really favouring the Swans in the last quarter. I think they kicked about 7 or 8 and really piled it on at the end there. So maybe West Coast can recover a little bit next week, hopefully.
Yeah, but they do also have Alex Witherden, who is out. He's suspended for a week. But yeah, they did have Harry Edwards come back in too after his broken finger. So that was nice to see.
Oh, that's good. That's good news.
Yeah, but there'll be a few guys. Like, I think Andrew Gaff played pretty well. He had his...
He did.
Was it... Did he have 30?
He was the leading for the Eagles.
Yeah. So I think 32 touches, like... They will get some AFL help. I think with a healthy AFL list, it will push guys down the pecking order to the Waffle, and they should realistically
be more competitive.
They should be more competitive because they should have a consistent stream of guys. And I'd also like to give a little shout out to the first ever Eagles Waffle 50 gamer, my mate Ethan Hansen. So well done on that, Ethel.
Good old Ethel.
Good old Ethel.
He's a good player, Ethel. He left the Demons, but he's onto greener pastures.
He left the Demons.
Anyway, good
friend of the pod too.
Shout out, Ethel. Maybe we'll try and get him on.
We'll get him on
at some point. All right, and the other match before we get to your match of the round, Sean, was Perth playing Subiaco. So mine, yours, and our Perth Demons getting the job done. They've beaten Subi for the first time in 14 games, I believe. So it's been a long road.
They were very joyous, I saw.
Yeah, absolutely they were. They were actually really good. And I think Subi are actually going to be a pretty strong team. So I think it's a good win for the Demons. Hopefully they climb up the ladder. But 10-10-70 to 8-8-56, that's a belting in my books. Some of the better players.
14 points. Yeah.
it's been a long, arduous lifetime journey. Yeah. Greg Clark for Subi had 41 touches and a goal. He looks pretty good coming back from the AFL. Charlie Constable, who is the policeman, he's back. He's not back in Perth, but he's coming to Perth. And he's joined the Demons. He had 37 touches. You know, obviously he spent time at Gold Coast, and I think was it Geelong as well.
I believe
early
so.
Early in his career, yeah.
And friend of ours as well, friend of Sophie Fenner's. Friend of the pod,
yes, apparently, yes. So
Maybe we can get him on some time too.
Yeah, well, good. She's friends. She's friends with everyone.
She is.
Yeah, but some other ones. Subi, Lee Kitchen had 35 touches for the Demons. Jack Cooley again, another newbie, 30 disposals. You know, it looks like a bit of a piggery game for the stats sheet. Aaron Clark, who was one of Perth's new recruits, kicked 3 goals. Ben Sokol, who's Mark Redding's favourite for the leading goal kicker, continued with 3. So the usual suspects. But that is exciting. And Perth, actually, I'd like to give a shout out to them for winning all 3 grades, which is relatively uncommon against Subiaco.
Looking stronger this year.
Yeah. All right, Sean, well, you got out to our game of the round, which was West Perth hosting Claremont out at Pentanet.
Yeah, it was a tough one. So ended up being 75-73. So 11 goals and 9 behind for the Falcons and 11 goals and 7 behinds for the Claremont Tigers. It was, for the first half, quite an easy breeze for the Falcons. They did finish it off quite well with 6 goals and, yeah, Claremont had 4. And then Claremont just came out running in that third quarter. And so me as a West Perth fan was a little bit worried there as they end up taking over with 7 goals. And, yeah, the Falcons didn't actually kick any in the third quarter, but ended up being a really nail-biter fourth quarter and the Falcons end up winning just, yeah, with 11 goals. So it was a tight one. I did end up going out, but we had Jai Bolton. He was the main guy of the game with 32 disposals. And then Callan England, 28 disposals. Luke Meadows was great for the West Perth with 28 disposals. And we also had the main goal kickers.
Keitel was 3, if I'm not mistaken, and Manuel. As opposed to automatic.
Yeah, so Tyler Keitel kicked 3. Bailey Rogers kicked 3 for Claremont. And Alexander Manuel. He is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel
Lancer.
Yeah, and we also saw Connor West back in West Perth after his 6-month Europe holiday and also being from the Eagles, now back to West Perth. So that was kind of cool to watch as well, watching back on the game on the grounds.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I was there watching, yeah, in the stands, also got my media pass with my little iPhone. So that was interesting and a little bit, I guess I'd say, embarrassing, having my iPhone there with all the cameramen out with their real quality guns. So that was fun, but hopefully all the footy players will see us around too throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be keeping a very keen eye out, especially while they're playing, making sure that we're Doing them justice. All right, thank you, Sharp. Was there anything else that happened? How did you find the experience of being media accredited?
Yeah, it was good. Overall good. It was an interesting experience, I think, as well, going out on the field, getting some snaps, getting some B-roll footage. Did make some awkward eye contact with a couple of the players, so that was not fun.
I think you had a story about with Main Wearing.
Yeah, he was getting quite hardcore tackled to the ground, and then he looked a bit winded, and then he stood up, and then we made some awkward eye contact right on that boundary line. So that was fun. But yeah, which we do have a bit of audio there we can play. Look, you can't really hear too much about what's happening, but trust me, the eye contact did happen.
No, that was outstanding audio. I could feel the eyes.
It was like I was there myself at Pentanet Stadium on Thursday.
Yeah, it's lucky that we didn't have to go in the end because we got everything we needed to know from that 6 seconds of inaudible audio.
Yeah.
Really good. Okay. Okay, thank you, Sean. All right, we're going to go ahead and look towards round 2.
Who are we most excited about seeing in round 2? Who do we think can sort of come out firing?
Okay, well, a couple of things. So West Coast are playing South Fremantle at Mineral Resources, so maybe they'll be able to
bounce back. Like a bit of at the bottom of the ladder too, aren't they?
Is that a battle of the wooden spooners?
Yeah.
Could we go that early?
I wouldn't go that early because South Fremantle played in back-to-back grand finals only a couple of years ago, and I don't think their list has changed dramatically. There was a few retirements, but I don't know. I don't feel like they'll be that bad.
You're living in the past a little,
yeah,
Dane.
Yeah, especially you did see West Perth these days. They were a bit average last year and they're looking strong this year, so.
Yeah, I don't know, mate.
Past means nothing sometimes.
I feel like it will be close. It close table. Yes, I don't know, right. Mate. You don't know. You guys call it. I'm not going to go
very,
ahead
very
and do
diplomatic,
it.
Dane. I like that.
Thank you. Claremont playing East Fremantle, which I think will actually be a really good game because I think both teams will be there or thereabouts, even though East Fremantle are coming from a little bit further back with their points system.
Hopefully the Tigers will do you justice this week.
I hope so.
So both teams lost, but I suspect they'll be right around the mark. And then East Perth versus Swans, which I actually think as well could be two of the teams that rise up the ladder this year. So I think both actually looked really good last week. So it'll be interesting to see how they hit each other out. Where is Sullivan Logistics Stadium? Is that Bassendean?
Yeah, it is. They've changed all the names.
No, that has to be Leederville, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it is Leederville. I take it back. It is. Yeah, it is Leederville.
Sullivan Logistics Stadium.
They've changed all the names too because Pentanet is not HBF Arena either.
Yep, and so that's our next game. West Perth. Perth are travelling out to Pentanet in Joondalup to take on West Perth, which will be a big test
See me there again.
Okay, you're going to go again.
Yeah, why not? It's a 5-minute walk from me, Dane.
Yeah, no worries. And make sure you get some good audio.
I will. get the bounce down.
I don't know. I think that'll be a challenge for the Demons. I think West Perth are generally pretty good. So I think the Demons are going to have a tough one on the road. But it's a new look, Perth Demons in 2024. And I think they could take it right up to them, led by Regan Clark.
And then the last one at the Sullivan Logistics Stadium is Subiaco versus Peel. How do we feel that one's going to go?
I think Subi normally quite strong, but I think Peel are my dark horses this year. I really
dark
feel
horses.
They can go one.
They're
going to
overcome the tribulations of last year's grand final.
Yeah, I believe so, Dana. I have a good feeling about them this year. I think they, you know, the AFL team's flying, and there's no reason why Peel Thunder can't be number one.
Can't fly again.
Exactly.
Fly with them, sorry.
Yeah, I tend to agree, actually. I think that would be good. I don't count out Subi ever, simply because their program and their system is usually traditionally very strong. But yeah, I think Peel actually look really good, so they might be hard to beat.
Good. That's all five of them rounded up quite nicely. I would say so.
Should we give? You've heard my prediction for the year, guys. What do you have your own predictions? Who do you think wins it this year?
All right, well, if I had to pick, I think we will see an East Perth flag.
Really? You'll see an East Perth flag?
Yep. I'm going for it. I think I've seen enough.
Do you have any more, reasons why?
I just think they're there or thereabouts. They played a pretty good game on the weekend. They didn't have their best player, who was a Sandover medalist. They just got all the makings for what looks like to be a good team. But
you
then
just
again,
feel it in your fingers.
Yeah, it's just my gut feel. But then again, I think it's actually going to be really close, as I've suggested. And I think as Mark said before, he would agree. I think there'll be a lot of teams vying for it. But if I had to do a real prediction, I think Perth won't lose a game all season. I think they'll win the grand final by 150 points.
Yeah.
That sounds like a completely unbiased.
Yeah, I feel like you're dreaming there, just a little bit.
Well, what about you, Sean? Who do you think that?
What about me? Honestly, don't know. It seems pretty even to me, I think. I reckon East Fremantle could be up there again. I'm sure they're nice and strong. They'll come back from their -4 points. But I am rooting for the West Perth Falcons. Hopefully they can get back into the flagship again. That would be nice. Get rid of their hangover cure and get back up there. What about you, Tim?
As I said earlier, I think Peel are looking really strong to start the season, and I think they could do it. I think they can go one step further.
Yeah, I've changed my mind. I think East Freo will win.
Why have you changed your mind then?
Oh, I'm just thinking about it now. They're sort of in the similar position to East Perth. They actually got a Sandover medalist to come back into their
Brayshaw.
Team at some
yeah.
point.
Is that right? Yeah.
No. Brayshaw's going back to East Perth. Yeah, East Fremantle will get Blaine Bokehurst, who won the year before, who missed the premiership year with an ACL tear,
Coming back from an ACL is hard too, though. He might not be Sandover
medalist.
Yeah,
that's true.
Ready.
He might not be cherry ripe.
Nah.
He might not be, but he's going into a team that just won it all, so I don't
but
feel
they
like
could
it's
have
a, nice...
a hangover. It's very common. So common.
And then you're looking at them, they're already starting on -4 points.
Yeah. It's hard
now, I'm no mathematician, but that's not great.
Yeah, but if, West Coast are starting on -20 points,
But they'll get Jack Kelly back in there for
it
a
little
bit.
It can be overcome. Yeah, no, I think they are good predictions. I think what's interesting about this year, and you might agree, is it genuinely actually looks really close.
I don't think
there's actually going to be any shocking teams.
No. Well, besides...
I well, even still, I feel West Coast won a couple of games last year.
Honestly, West Coast weren't too bad on the weekend of what I saw. They were they were within a goal at three-quarter time, and it was really that last quarter where they
did win a preseason game too.
So. Yeah, I think it will actually be interesting, and I think a lot of teams will pinch wins against others where maybe it wasn't expected, and I think it might end up a pretty close ladder. And
which bodes well for us covering the Waffle all year.
Yeah, it's great. As Adam Papalia said, cheering for a close game.
Woo, yeah.
All right, well, looking ahead to next week, we will obviously come back next Monday. We'll recap round two. We've actually got a lot of things planned for the season, so we'll obviously update people on that as we go, but we should have some really good interviews, especially ones that are a little bit different to what we've done previously. You know, we're players, coaches, but also I think we'll look at venturing out beyond just football specifically, and, you know, looking at other aspects of people's engagement with the Waffle competition.
And we're looking to do a bit on Waffle W as well this year.
Yep.
So we'll try and bring that in.
They're already up to round five, aren't they, Tim?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so it's already round five and obviously sort of starting halfway through the season. But it would be great to, you know, talk to a few of the players in the Waffle W and see how they're tracking this year.
Yeah, and we also we're going to look about the draft picks and potential of what's next for the future of Waffle and also AFL because, yeah, it would be interesting to see.
It's not just an old man's game. There's still youth coming through. All right, well, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Sean. I think that was a good start for us. We'll be back this time next week.
In your ears.
In your ears.